everyone, and welcome to Leap of Faith Podcast. I'm Lorraine, I'm your host, and today is episode 118.5, and we are actually in the last chapter of 1 Kings. This is chapter 22, so yay, congratulations. We are at the end of 1 Kings, and we'll be going into 2 Kings on Monday. So yay, I mean, we've gotten this far, we've come so far. So proud of you. Pat yourself on the back that you have continued and you've kept reading. And, you know, I really look back and I know for me, I feel like I get to know God a little bit better and I get to know Him better. And that's what we want. We want to be able to have a relationship with God and to be able to trust in Him and know that He is God and He is Almighty and He takes care of it all. So we have to put our trust in Him. So I'm not going to delay. I'm going to go ahead and get into it because this is a pretty long chapter. So I'm going to pray, give you your Bible verse of the day, and then we will get right into it. So let's pray. Holy and mighty God, we come to your throne. We come to you. We want to sit at your feet and hear from you and learn from you and get to know you. So we are coming to you with hearts of thanksgiving and gratitude. We appreciate all that you do for us. We see it in the little things and we see it in the big things. And we put all of our hope and trust in you, Lord. We put everything in you because we know you're going to take care of it. So thank you. Thank you for loving us and wanting to give us our heart's desires. According to what your will is, we want to be in your will. We want to be doing what you want us to do. We want to be obedient. And we have to be attentive and listening and hearing what it is that you want us to be doing. So, Lord, thank you. We are most grateful for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. We thank you for his sacrifice, the blood that he shed for our sins. Lord, we are not worthy and we don't deserve it. We never deserved it. But we are grateful and thankful for your mercy and your kindness and your love. Lord, I'm grateful for those who are out there listening, watching, just praying blessings over every single one of those folks who are out there listening, watching. I pray you bring more so they can hear your word and get to know you better. And Lord, whatever you want for this podcast, we are willing to do it. Jeremiah and I want to be servants. So, Lord, thank you for giving us this opportunity to read your word into the world. Lord, we lift up those who are out there who are in need, whether they are physical needs, emotional needs, monetary, whatever it is, Lord, relationships. We just pray in your favor for healing or prosperity. You know, maybe somebody's just looking for a place to live. They need a home, Lord, whatever that might be. Things that some of us take for granted. We just take it for granted that we have luxuries. So thank you. I thank you for hot and cold water. I mean, shoot, taking a nice hot shower. I am grateful for that. I'm grateful for the food that you put on my table. I'm thankful for my family that you blessed me with. There's so many things that we can be grateful and thankful for. So I'm just lifting all those needs up to you. Lord, take us where you want us to go. Let us meet the people you want us to meet. Let us say the words you want us to say and keep us out of your way. In Jesus' name, amen. So today's verse comes from Hebrews. And it is Hebrews 6:19. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul. Firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. You know, the word hope just jumped at me when I read this. And we have hope in our Lord. And, you know, as long as we are being obedient and doing what he wants us to do, you know, he will bless us and he will take care of us. And that's where, you know, we all have to be praying for what it is that he wants us to be doing. But we have to keep our hope as an anchor for the soul. It's very easy to let the enemy into your head and get in there and take over sometimes and allow him to convince us to do things. So, like yesterday, planned to go to church with my son. I woke up thinking, well, maybe he doesn't want me to go to church with him. Maybe he wants to just go up there and have fun with his friends and meet up with his friends and hang out with them. And maybe I'm gonna drag him to. So I started like letting the enemy get in my head. And, I thought, no, I'm not gonna do that. I'm gonna go, and I'm gonna allow you to do God to do what it is that He wants to do. And you know what? It turned out to be wonderful. Everything fell into place. And it just was a blessing. And that pastor happened to be preaching about in Daniel. And it's funny because there were things that were resonating in my head because you know what? Again, the enemy gets into your head. And I'm sorry, I said I was going to get right to reading, but I just wanted to say this out loud. The enemy gets into your head and he starts convincing you of stuff. And I'm thinking to myself, let's be honest here. We don't have a big following. And that's okay because the people who are listening and the people who are watching need to be in this. So, but I started thinking, it's like, well, maybe I should just, take a little sabbatical. I got a lot of stuff going on, things that I have to take care of. I'm feeling a little stressed out. Maybe I should just put this back for a few, months maybe, and then get back on track. After things have settled down. And then I start hearing what the preacher was saying yesterday. And he was saying, this is not, and I've said this before, this is not a spectator sport. We don't sit on the sidelines and let everybody else do. God wants us to dig in. He wants us to be fisher of men. He wants us to grab hold of people. And I'm hoping that that's what this is doing. I hope that people will find us. Maybe we were clunky in the beginning. I'm hoping that we got a little bit better at this. I feel more comfortable doing this. And so I just feel like, you know what? I put the enemy back. And you know what? I'm thankful that the enemy was getting in my head because obviously he thinks that something I'm doing is right. So if he's trying to get in my head and convince me to not do this, then you know what? Thank you, because that means I'm doing something right. So I listened to what that pastor was saying, and I'm not going to be a spectator. I'm going to dive in, and I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. And if there's more for me to be doing, I will do it. It is what it is, and I am just trying to be obedient and do what the Lord told me to do. So here it is, and that's what I got to say about that. So if you hear God telling you to do something, you need to do it. And we have this hope as an anchor for the soul. Hope and faith, those are two huge words. So, all right, that's your verse of the day. Sorry, I kind of went off on a little tangent there. So we're going to go ahead and get into chapter 22. And the last message from the last verse, 28, because I highlighted it. It says in 28, then another message from the Lord came to Elijah. Do you see how Ahab has humbled himself before me? Because he has done this, I will not do what I promised during his lifetime, but it will happen to his sons. So something's coming, and it's going to be for his legacy. All right. Jehoshaphat and Ahab. For 3 years, there was no war between Aram and Israel. Then, during the 3rd year, King Jehoshaphat of Judah went to visit King Ahab of Israel. During the visit, the king of Israel said to his officials, "Do you realize that the town of Ramoth Gilead belongs to us, and yet we've done nothing to recapture it from the king of Aram?" Then he turned to Jehoshaphat and asked, "Will you join me in battle to recover Ramoth Gilead?" Jehoshaphat replied to the king of Israel, "Why, of course, you and I are as one. My troops are your troops, and my horses are your horses." Then Jehoshaphat added, "But first, let's find out what the Lord says." So the king of Israel summoned the prophets, about 400 of them, and asked them, "Should I go to war against Ramoth Gilead, or should I hold back?" They all replied, "Yes, go right ahead. The Lord will give the victory, the king the victory." But Jehoshaphat asked, "Is there not also a prophet of the Lord here? We should ask him the same question." The king of Israel replied to Jehoshaphat, "There is one more man who could consult the Lord for us, but I hate him. He never prophesies anything but trouble for me. His name is Micaiah, son of Imlah." Jehoshaphat replied, "That's not the way a king should talk. Let's hear what he has to say." Sorry, I'm highlighting. Jehoshaphat replied, So the king of Israel called one of his officials and said, "Quick, bring Micaiah, son of Imlah." Micaiah prophesies against Ahab. King Ahab of Israel and King Jehoshaphat of Judah, dressed in their royal robes, were sitting on thrones at the threshing floor near the gate of Samaria. All of Ahab's prophets were prophesying there in front of them. One of them, Zedekiah, son of Kenaanah, made some iron horns and proclaimed, "This is what the Lord says. With these horns you will gore the Arameans to death." All the other prophets agreed. "Yes," they said, "go to Ramoth-Gilead and be victorious, for the Lord will give the king victory." Meanwhile, the messenger who went to get Micaiah said to him, "Look, all the prophets are promising victory for the king. Be sure that you agree with them and promise success." But Micaiah replied, "As surely as the Lord lives, I will say only what the Lord tells me to say." When Micaiah arrived before the king, Ahab asked him, "Micaiah, should we go to war against Ramoth-Gilead, or should we hold back?" Micaiah replied sarcastically, "Yes, go up and be victorious, for the Lord will give the king victory." But the king replied sharply, "How many times must I demand that you speak only the truth to me when you speak for the Lord?" Then Micaiah told him, "In a vision, I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains like sheep without a shepherd. And the Lord said, 'Their master has been killed. Send them home in peace.'" "Didn't I tell you?" the king of Israel exclaimed to Jehoshaphat. "He never prophesies anything but trouble for me." Then Micaiah continued, "Listen to what the Lord says. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne with all the armies of heaven around him, on his right and on his left. And the Lord said, 'Who can entice Ahab to go into battle against Ramoth-Gilead so he can be killed?' There were many suggestions, and finally a spirit approached the Lord and said, 'I could do it.' 'How will you do this?' the Lord asked. And the spirit replied, 'I will go out and inspire all of Ahab's prophets to speak lies.' 'You will succeed,' said the Lord. 'Go ahead and do it.'" So you see, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouths of all your prophets, for the Lord has pronounced your doom. Then Zedekiah, son of Kenaanah, walked up to Micaiah and slapped him across the face. "Since when did the Spirit of the Lord leave me to speak to you?" he demanded. And Micaiah replied, "You will find out soon enough when you are trying to hide in the secret room." "Arrest him," the king of Israel ordered. "Take him back to Ammon, the governor of the city, and to my son Joash. Give them this order from the king. Put this man in prison and feed him nothing but bread and water until I return safely from the battle." But Micaiah replied, "If you return safely, it will mean that the Lord has not spoken through me." Then he added to those standing there, "Everyone, mark my words." The death of Ahab. So King Ahab of Israel and King Jehoshaphat of Judah led their armies against Ramoth-Gilead. The king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "As we go into battle, I would disguise myself so no one will recognize me. But you wear your royal robes." So the king of Israel disguised himself and then went to battle. Meanwhile, the king of Aram had issued these orders to his 32 chariot commanders: "Attack only the king of Israel. Don't bother with anyone else." So when the Aramean chariot commanders saw Jehoshaphat in his royal robes, they went after him. "There is the king of Israel," they shouted. But when Jehoshaphat called out, the chariot commanders realized he was not the king of Israel, and they stopped chasing him. An Aramean soldier, however, randomly shot an arrow at the Israelite troops and hit the king of Israel between the joints of his armor. "Turn the horses and get me out of here," Ahab groaned to the driver of his chariot. "I'm badly wounded." The battle raged all that day, and the king remained propped up in his chariot facing the Arameans. The blood from his wound ran down to the floor of his chariot, and as evening arrived, he died. Just as the sun was setting, the cry ran through his troops, "We're done for! Run for your lives!" So the king died, and his body was taken to Samaria and buried there. Then his chariot was washed beside the pool of Samaria, and dogs came and licked his blood at the place where the prostitutes bathed, just as the Lord had promised. The rest of the events in Ahab's reign and everything he did, including the story of the ivory palace and the towns he built, are recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Israel. So Ahab died, and his son Ahaziah became the next king. Jehoshaphat rules in Judah. Jehoshaphat, son of Asa, began to rule over Judah in the fourth year of King Ahab's reign in Israel. Jehoshaphat was 35 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 25 years. His mother was Azubah, the daughter of Shilhi. Jehoshaphat was a good king, following the example of his father Asa. He did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight. During his reign, however, he failed to remove all the pagan shrines, and the people still offered sacrifices and burned incense there. Jehoshaphat also made peace with the king of Israel. The rest of the events, in Jehoshaphat's reign, the extent of his power, and the wars he waged are recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Judah. He banished from the land the rest of the male and female shrine prostitutes who still continued their practices from the days of his father Asa. There was no king in Edom at the time, only a deputy. Jehoshaphat also built a fleet of trading ships to sail to Ophir for gold. But the ships never set sail, for they met with disaster in their home port of Ezion-Geber. At one time, Ahaziah, son of Ahab, had proposed to Jehoshaphat, "Let my men sail with your men in the ships," but Jehoshaphat refused the request. When Jehoshaphat died, he was buried with his ancestors in the city of David. Then his son Jehoram became the next king. Ahaziah rules in Israel. Ahaziah, son of Ahab, began to rule over Israel in the seventh year of King Jehoshaphat's reign in Judah. He reigned in Samaria 2 years, but he did what was evil in the Lord's sight, following the example of his father and mother and the example of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, who had led Israel to sin. He served Baal and worshipped him, provoking the anger of the Lord, the God of Israel, just as his father had done. Oh, my. Well, I didn't highlight a whole lot in this. Again, this was a lot of history, and, I hope you were able to keep up with that. Ahab wants to get Jehoshaphat in on, getting back some land. Jehoshaphat says, let's go ahead and, talk to the prophets. And, of course, God had sent this one prophet or this one angel to go and, convince the 400 prophets to basically not tell the truth. But then you've got the one guy who apparently Jehoshaphat says there's one more who could consult us, but I hate him. He never prophesies anything but trouble for me. His name is Micaiah, son of Imla. That's in verse 8. So, of course, they consult him, and he tells the truth, basically. A lying spirit, that's what it was. There were many suggestions. If you go back, where the Lord is sitting with the armies of heaven around him on his right and on his left, There were many suggestions, and then finally a spirit approached the Lord and said, I can do it. So one of the, armies of heaven, says, I can do it. I'm just going to put a lying spirit in the mouths of your prophets. And basically, they prophesied Ahab's death. Of course, Ahab's trying to be sneaky, and he puts on a costume, to cover up a disguise, while Jehoshaphat is out there in his royal robes. And at first, they mistake him for being Ahab, but then they realize it's not him. And then, just by, this is what God does. It's like, the battle raged all day. Where is it? In 34. An Aramean soldier, however, randomly shot an arrow at the Israelite troops, and it hits the king right between the joints of his armor. Now, that could only be God pointing that arrow directly at him, right? I mean, how, there's no coincidences, and of course, down in 37, just as the Lord had promised, all this stuff is coming to fruition, just as God promised. And of course, King Ahab dies, and it's all written in the book of the history of the kings of Israel. And then we start back talking about Jehoshaphat, who started to rule over Judah in the fourth year of Ahab's reign, and he was 35 years old. And he reigned in Jerusalem for 25 years, and he was a good king, it says, following the example of Asa. He did what was pleasing in the light sight, Lord's sight. So I highlighted that. But he did fail to remove all the pagan shrines, and the people still offered sacrifices and burned incense there. Jehoshaphat also made peace with the king of Israel. So apparently he and, I guess, Ahab, before he died, which is what we just read. And then I went over to 50. When Jehoshaphat died, he was buried with his ancestors in the city of David. So again, we're still in the lineage of David. We're still on the track for David. Then his son Jehoram became the next king. And that's it. That's all I really got. I don't have a takeaway. Basically, again, like I said, we're just going through this history of the kings, and to study the kings is an interesting thing to do. So we're going to get into Second Kings starting Monday. Very exciting. And we're going to read a little bit more of Elisha. So it says in the very first page of our Bible of Second Kings, like the overview. In 1 Kings, one nation becomes two. In 2 Kings, two nations are reduced to one. And there are 19 consecutive evil kings leading Israel downhill. And it's going to be interesting because we're, like I said, we're going to read about Elisha in the first couple of chapters. So it doesn't say, it says, who is the author? Uncertain. Of who some suggested that it might have been Jeremiah or a group of prophets, possibly written 562 BC, shortly after King Jehoiachin's release. This is stuff we're going to, read about. All right, well, that's it for reading today. But as always, we never want to let anybody leave our study without giving the opportunity to give their life to Jesus. If you have not made Jesus Lord of your life, if you have not let him into your heart, this is your time. If you feel like God is leading you, which I would think that maybe if you're here listening to this, podcast, that's a good strong possibility. So I'm going to say the prayer of salvation, and I hope that you will say it too, because it will change your life. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, today I put my trust in you. I am not perfect and know that I have sinned against you. Please forgive me. I thank you for the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. It's his perfect and spotless blood that covers all of my sins, past, present, and future. On this day, I accept him as my Lord and Savior into my heart and will live my life for him. Thank you for my salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. If you said that prayer for the first time, congratulations and welcome into this wonderful family of Jesus Christ. You're a brother or sister in Christ now. It's a new life. It's a new birthday. Mark it in your Bible that today was your day that you gave your heart to Jesus, and make it a day of celebration. There's somebody who's praying for you, and they would love to hear that. We would love to hear from you. If you did accept Jesus today, please feel free to email Lorraine at leapoffaithpodcast.org or Jeremiah at leapoffaithpodcast.org. You can message us on Facebook or Instagram, however you'd like to communicate with us. We'd love to hear from you. And if you did, we always suggest that you get to a church or a pastor. If you've got questions, they can answer them for you. Get involved with your church. Start going regularly. You know, these are the steps you want. I mean, it's a great thing that you have a relationship with Jesus, but the way you keep building up with that relationship is to get involved and support in your church, because, you know, you want to be the hands and feet. There's ministries, there's mission work, there's Bible studies, so many ways that you volunteer work, so many ways you can get involved. Pray about it. God's got, you know, he gave you talents and gifts to use. Use them and start living for Jesus. That's all I got to say. So that's it for today. So glad you were able to listen, watch, however it is. I don't know what time of day it is. It could be morning, noon, night. I have no idea. It could be a year from now. I don't know how the internet works in the future, but hopefully you find us. So God bless you. Have a great day, and I will see you on Monday.